This is going to be a time of question and answer if anyone has anything, or comments. If anyone has a comment you'd like to make, whether you're here or on Pal Talk, you're welcome. To begin with, though, I'm going to read some notes that have been coming in. Now, these aren't the common ones. You know, the common ones we've been reading for a while. No man knows a day or hour. If people are in the church, you know, I'll see you on the 22nd. We get tons of them. But these are ones we haven't focused on that I think are encouraging. So I'm just going to read a few of them, and then we'll open it up. This one's from Taiwan. Hello, Family Radio. I represent a small group of believers and semi-faithful in Taiwan. We have seen your signs all over Kaohsiung and are curious to learn more. We were wondering if there are any public gatherings scheduled for the days leading up to the rapture. Can we attend? So that's a group that had no connection with Family Radio that's seeing the signs in Taiwan. And this person writes, God bless you, dear brothers and sisters. I heard Family Radio on a local radio station in Cali, Colombia, since last year while I was in prison. I've been listening since, and I thank God for you and the message. Jesus is definitely coming on May 21, 2011. I have been released recently, and I want to do something to spread the news. Are there any other believers in this area? Please let me know. May God have mercy on us. This one's from Sacramento, California. Oh, my. I'm so excited. I was able to show the YouTube video. Today is the day of salvation, May 21. No, not May 21. My 21-year-old son cried. Or after seeing, and he cried, I hope it is because God is working on him. He has many questions, but it really opened the door. Thank you so much, YouTube One Sword Searcher channel. I could not have orchestrated this. A person from Dubai, where billboards were taken down after a couple of days, just writes, how many belong to your group and where are they? And he found us through Google search. I would like to know more about your group. I refer in my mother tongue, Arabic. And from Denver, Colorado, hello, my name is Donna Riemann, and 2 days ago I listened to a video on this topic. It was the first time I've heard of this specific date being the day of rapture. The first scripture quoted was Ezekiel 33:3. I noted this down on a piece of notepaper along with several other verses cited. I finished listening to the video and went to my living room and stuck the notepaper in my Bible. A few minutes later, I took it outside to read the scriptures noted for myself. When I opened my Bible, my notepaper was already placed on the exact page of the beginning of Ezekiel 33. My Bible contains over 1,000 pages. What are the chances of this happening? When I read Ezekiel 33, it became clear to me that God was sending me a loud message to sound the trumpet. I've been praying and need some more guidance on what to do from here. Do you have any suggestions? Are there any local chapters for this movement in the Denver area? People just don't understand, and they're well-meaning. They want to join up, and they see all kinds of people. They don't realize that we're just individuals, that there is no membership. But I'll just read the next one. This is, I want to go to heaven, from Fayetteville, North Carolina. We were taking a vacation to New York a week ago. On the way, I saw a sign saying May 21st, 2011, Judgment Day. Well, what a coincidence. And then while in New York, I saw an Asian man holding a sign saying the same thing. In my life, I was not given very much intelligence. I feel I have not made a good life. I'm 50 years old. My mother died when I was 8. My father died when I was 18. I always felt my brothers and sisters were cheated in life. I wished I could have lived a better life for God. I just hope He will forgive me for all my sins. I hope all mankind can rise up to the heavens. I love life, even though I am not that worthy. I hope you can help me and everybody else in this world. Pittsburgh, PA. I heard about all of this when I was at McDonald's. I saw the van saying End of the World 2011. So, of course, I was interested. It's shocking. It's so soon. I'm only 20, 20 years old. I'm a Christian Baptist. I just sin a lot, and it's hard to get myself straight. I pray to God that He can change me, not by my will, but through His. What I worried about is if I'm still being changed. Will it be enough change when Judgment Day comes around? This is next one from Romania. Hi, I read with interest the main part of your website and calculations seem right. Indeed, in that final time, the people of the Lord will know. But I do have some questions for you, and it would be great if you could reply to me on email. Are you sure 100%? And what should I do in the final days? I never drank, I never smoked or taken drugs. I'm 23 years old. And I feel I helped a lot of people in my life and prayed to God from time to time. I do believe in God. However, from 1 or 2 years or so, I don't go to church. And I never read the full Bible. So what is to be done in the last 3 weeks we might have? And by the way, all these get responses with links, Fanny Radio, tracks, booklets. So everyone, you know, is going to get a response. And also Janine, who answers, I think, all of these, she also will include like little links where Mr. Camping maybe has addressed the question from you know, the dynamic Bible query form. And so they are getting a lot of information and response. This person writes from Belton, South Carolina. Help, I believe you, but I don't know where to go or what to do. I feel like I'm all alone out here. And Bolivia, La Paz, Bolivia, where there was just a track trip. Information. Thanks for asking. Our God, give us wisdom, above all, His Holy Spirit. I'm very interested in this topic. There are many rumors that something big will happen, but I have questions. And then he asks a series of questions. What to do from the UK? You know, the London and the United Kingdom has been sending us about half the notes over this past week that we've been getting. So I don't know what's going to go. Fanny Radio had a poster campaign in their subway system, and it seems a lot of people have taken note. I'm curious. You say churches become pointless in 1988 as God left them and was replaced by Satan. I was born in 1989. I've lived what I believe is a pretty decent life. I've committed few acts which I believe to be immoral. I've helped others whenever I can and have stood up against what I see as evil. I am, however, not at all religious. In your view, when May 21st rolls along, am I going to be all right? And again, this person would get response. And what would be the good answer to him? Well, a couple of verses indicating if you sinned in one point, you're guilty of all. And so we're in trouble. Just one sin can destroy us. And whatever righteousness we think we've done, it doesn't mean a thing. Okay, I'll just read. Well, that's too long. Read one more from Maryland, Gambrills, Maryland. Hello, great job. This made it a lot easier to tell people about. I just tell them to Google Judgment Day, May 21, unless they want to sit down and go over some numbers and dates. And do you know of any May 21 chat rooms? So for a change, you know, people are seeing signs, billboards, the caravans. It's definitely being seen. I like the one from a guy in McDonald's, you know. He just saw a van and all of a sudden he's very interested and he wants to know more. Okay. Does anybody have anything? Emmanuel?
James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7.
Okay, James. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
If someone's praying and they're thinking, well, maybe God might not save me because I'm not elect, is verse 7 saying that God isn't going to, you know, God isn't going to grant them if they're doubting?
No. God, let's start in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, and today has everything to do with wisdom. Wise man's heart discerneth time and judgment. The wise will understand. None of the wicked will understand. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, it says in Luke 21, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And wisdom, well, you know, there's various degrees of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world that the world shows, and they can be wise in some things. There's wisdom to know what to do, what to say, how to do it, how to say it, to live our life as an example. And then there's wisdom that separates men from the wise from the foolish, and that's Christ, as he is said to be in 1 Corinthians 1:30, wisdom. He is the essence of wisdom. So if we have wisdom, then an individual is counted wise and also very secure because they have Christ, if it's true wisdom. Here, if anyone lacks wisdom, if they don't have Christ, they don't have the salvation of God, well, God indicates that person should ask him. And that's prayer. That the word pray means ask. So we should go to God and pray for wisdom. If we're not seeing these things, but we're hearing a lot about it, oh Lord, give me wisdom to discern time and judgment, to understand these things. Give me wisdom that is Christ, so that I might see and hear. And over in Luke 11, the Bible says of going to God in prayer and asking him for salvation. It says in verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now we know the rest of the Bible qualifies these statements. Not everyone who seeks God on their terms or asks of God things on their terms will receive the mercy of God. But God is also indicating he is very gracious and he does answer the prayers of people. In verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And that's Christ, they're one and the same. That's the same thing as beseeching God for mercy. Really, we're saying, God, grant me your Holy Spirit. Give me the Spirit of God so that I would become a child of God. We pray for wisdom, and we're basically praying for that same thing. But then God says, let him ask in faith. Faith is who? Christ. That's the key. Let him ask in Christ. Not, oh God, here's my request. Here's my petition. Here's what I want. And it's like we're going to him based on our own person. God saved me because I am who I am. And God, give me wisdom. Remember that man in the book of Acts? He desired to have the Spirit of God in order to do the mighty works that the disciples were doing. And his heart was not right with God. He didn't have a right understanding of what he was asking. And I think that's the key. If we ask in Christ for his name's sake, oh God, have mercy on me, not because of anything in me, but because Christ is Savior and he has saved his people. So according to his will, I do present this request in front of you. And if you read the rest of it, that's how man is naturally. All men have not faith. And so we we would know if we're going on our own terms and if we're approaching God out of our own mind rather than how he would have us come. Remember the publican and the Pharisee. One prayed with himself, saying that as he wasn't praying in in the way God would have him pray, but the other, the publican, did pray in the way God would have him to pray by smiting his breast and admitting, I'm a sinner. I have no justification, no righteousness. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He's cast down.
Okay. My focus is mainly on verse 7.
I know.
So imagine, for example, the publican is like, he's praying to God, but he's thinking, I don't know if God might do what I'm praying for. So.
Well, he didn't know God would save him. And, I mean, we know that he's an example that Christ is giving, but you know, when people go to God and cry out for mercy and salvation, it's not guaranteed. And the thing is, we don't go based on our faith, which does waver. We go based on Christ's faith, which is a firm foundation.
Okay, one more verse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5.
Genesis 3. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Okay. I've been wondering, how can Satan know that Christ had taken on evil?
Well, I don't know if it's saying that he knew that Christ was the Lamb slain and was bearing the sins of his people before the foundation of the world. Satan's a liar and very deceptive, and he's trying to trick Eve into listening to him rather than God. And yet he has a problem because God already told Eve in verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So there's the truth. God said that, but that's a problem from Satan's perspective. He has to counter that in order to get her to listen to him, and then he would rule over her, that's what happened. He began to rule over mankind because they were obedient to the lie rather than to the truth of God's word. So it's just a lie that he's saying. Even though, the result is that man will experience evil and know about evil, but the lie is that God doesn't want you to know this because he's trying to hold something good from you or hold back something, and that's what he was really focusing on.
Okay, if I could just push a little. But isn't that a true statement that God did know good and evil and that he took on our sins from the foundation?
Well, right. Well, but he's not saying anything about that. He's just saying you, Eve and Adam, your eyes will be open to know evil. And he made it seem it was very pleasant to the eyes, and he made it all sound pretty good, and she fell into the trap.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Barbara.
Hello. There's actually two questions in John 20, starting with 19.
John 20,
verse
19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you."
Okay, that's the first part of it. And then in 26, where he's talking about the door being shut again.
"And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And are you thinking about May 21 when the door shuts?
Well, I really looked at this, and I don't know whether I can find a correlation, but I just thought it odd it was in the same, you know, that they're saying something there.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know this isn't related to May 21.
Okay.
For instance, in Genesis 19, when the men are pressing upon Lot and are almost ready to break the door, and then God strikes them with blindness and the door is shut. That's not May 21, because following that, there's still, Lot is still there and his daughters and everything, and then he went to his sons-in-law. There's a lot of activity that's still going on. And it doesn't seem to relate with the rolling judgment either. So
okay. At
times God can use the figure of the door shutting, and it's not necessarily directly pointing to May 21.
And the second part of this question is also in here. When Thomas didn't believe until he said he was going to put his hands in his, in his wounds and all. In 22, verse 22, the same chapter, Thomas wasn't there, but they said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now Thomas wasn't there when he breathed the Holy Ghost on them, right? Is that the first time they received the Holy Ghost, was there in that room?
No, it doesn't mean that they became saved then.
Oh, okay.
Like in Acts 2, the Holy Ghost is poured out, and that's just an official way of saying the church age began. Even though God did save 3,000 people at that time, this language doesn't really indicate that a person became saved. We know some of the disciples were true believers before this time, so it can't refer to that.
Was Thomas, do you think? Because he didn't believe until
well,
he saw.
Well, Thomas, God really uses him as an example of people. It's the mindset of the world. It says in verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And he doubted earlier, and he said, unless I can physically do these things, I won't believe. And that's exactly why people don't believe May 21. Exactly the reason they can't see it, they can't feel it, their senses can't discern it. For instance, in Hebrews 11, it says of Noah in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and he prepared the ark. So he was warned in advance of something invisible. It wasn't seen as yet, but God gave Noah faith. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He gave him spiritual sight to know and trust God, or to trust his word and believe him. And so he acted on that, and that's why God's people are running around the way they are today, because it's the faith of God that God has given to open up the eyes of his people so they see it and know it. And as a result, we share the information with the world who, unless they're God's elect, can't see it and can't know it. As a result, mocking, dismissing it, ignoring it, that's the natural reaction of man, as Christ said in John 8 and verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Do people hear about May 21 with their physical ears today? Yeah. Or their eyes, they can see the billboards. They're hearing it all over the place. But on another level, they have no eyes to see nor ears to hear, because it's spiritually to be understood, or it has to be understood through God's Spirit who guides into all truth His people. And as a result, anyone who's not God's elect doesn't get it. Doesn't get it. Now, is it possible for someone to follow along very closely, to hand out tracts, to wear the shirts and the hats and all that, and not be saved? Yes. But I thought, you know, the Bible indicates none of the wicked will understand. Aren't they understanding? And how is it, you know, in every gathering, if you have 100 people, there's going to be a few that aren't saved. And everybody could be pretty much on the same page. I don't know how an individual will make it through the minefield of all the doctrines that God opened up and still, you know, be hanging on in an unsaved state. But some do, and the you know, God's in complete control of that as to who will understand. And regarding understanding, a wise man's heart will know and understand these things. But if we go to Job chapter 28, God defines what it really means to understand. May 21 is Judgment Day. And this is part of it intellectually. That's a big part of it. And to not fight against it, that's a big part of it. But in Job 28, verse 28, it says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." That's what a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. The wise will understand. Well, if someone's hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, and they're fine with it, you know, a lot of people aren't fine with it, so we know how that is. But a few, I would think, who are on board, they're in agreement, they understand up here, but not in their heart. The proof is they're not departing from evil. Like, look at the Ninevites. They got the message of time and judgment, yet 40 days. And the response? Repentance, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, crying mightily unto God. So their action indicated they understood, according to Job 28:28's definition of what it is to understand. And if others are hearing it and hearing it, no matter how much in agreement, and they're still committing the same sins, they're still living their life as they did pretty much before they heard it regarding the things they're doing, then even though they understand intellectually, they don't understand. They don't get it at all. Yeah, all the way in the back. Yeah.
I don't believe it really fears the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the thing. When you have no fear of May 21st, and you believe it's May 21st, you've got to wonder why you have no fear. So fear is...
Well, we have to define fear, right? What's the fear of the Lord? Is it to be uneasy and troubled of mind because Judgment Day is coming? Is it... an actual feeling of fright? Is that fearing the Lord? No. Now, if we go to Deuteronomy 6, and there's several verses that basically say this same thing. In verse 1 and 2, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which Jehovah your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear Jehovah thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee." See how God is defining the fear of the Lord? Keeping his commandments. When a divorced person remarries, when a divorced person gets remarried, and they're a believer, and they know all about this, did they fear the Lord? They might have had some trepidation, you know, might have been some uneasiness, but then they went ahead and did it. Or the world, when it goes to the games on Sunday, or when anybody's cutting their grass or working, are they fearing the Lord? Nope. Because if you fear the Lord, you keep His commandments. And you can go all the way down the list, and that's why God says there is no fear of God in their eyes in Romans, because the world's doing as it pleases on and so is the church on many, many points. And so that would be the fear of the Lord, and that's tied in with repentance. If we're doing things that are contrary to the law of God, then if we fear Him, we're going to turn from the evil in our hands and beseech Him for mercy and strength. And so that would come, that's like in agreement with departing from evil as understanding. Yeah, John.
Hey, Chris. Could we go to Revelation 9th chapter?
Revelation 9.
Right.
Okay.
Starting at the third verse down through 5. This period of time, talking about the 5-month period, and you said in your prior studies that the locusts are the true believers.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 4, it says, they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. And the question was any of the believers going to be here at this time, because it's saying not to hurt.
Right. Now we know, right? We know how it fits. We know how it works. And this was a verse a lot of people had trouble with.
Right.
Because let's read Revelation 9, and it's after the smoke is coming out of the bottomless pit, and the locusts come out of the smoke. Smoke has to do with judgment day, and so the locusts, the true believers, are going up into heaven, being resurrected and raptured, and that, you know, we've heard how that's the great blow that hits all the unsaved. And then in verse 4, it was commanded them, the true believers that are being raptured or taken up. And how are they being raptured, or what's God's methodology to raise the dead through earthquake? And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. When the earthquake starts over in New Zealand, the Philippines, Japan, and believers in the rest of the world, you know, in the East Coast here, and we're witnessing it, God is basically telling us, relax, relax, don't be afraid. It's not designed to hurt you. The earthquake, all that devastation, well, we're seeing whole countries devastated. And so here's some encouraging and good news for the true believer who is awaiting that earthquake to approach to wherever they're at. And God is saying it's not designed to hurt you, typified by the grass and trees, but it's designed as judgment. And so I think now that verse is much more understandable.
Okay, so this is basically judgment day when earthquake
hits. Right. We know from the language of the locust that and if you go to Joel 2, it basically describes that same thing. They're going up into heaven, all the children of God, over, you know, as the earthquake hits nation to nation, nation after nation.
Right.
It's like the locusts are coming, and they're coming out of the smoke, out of the judgment of God. But this is reassurance to the child of God. It's not meant for your punishment. It's not meant to bring judgment on you. So that activity or all that's going on won't hurt the true believer. Now, we don't have to worry. And I've heard people wonder, you know, what if the house falls on me or something like that before I'm raptured? Okay, I don't know. But maybe you die 5 seconds before you go up into heaven. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about. And here God is giving that reassurance.
then it just transitions into the 5 months in verse 5.
Well, actually, when we read of the locust coming out of the smoke, that's May 21.
Right.
And that's the beginning of the 5 months.
Okay.
All right. Well, I will take one from Pal Talk and then we'll take a short break.
Okay, there's one comment. I recently talked to a pastor who said there was no verses in the Bible that say, "Wait on the Lord and you shall be saved." I discovered that there are 30 of them, including the famous Isaiah 40:31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings as eagles, and shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That was the comment. And the question was, if you want to take it. Hello. Matthew 26:55. The multitude comes out against Jesus with swords and staves as against a thief. And Revelation, there's another verse. Revelation 16:15, Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief." He comments, "I thought it was interesting that what happened in Matthew 26:55, and then on that day, Jesus will come with a sword as a thief to the unsaved."
I suppose that could fit in. We know that Christ is coming as a thief for all the unsaved people of the world. Because over in John 10, it says in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So those are the three reasons a thief comes. It's all negative. It's all bad. You know, if anybody ever says to you, "Christ is coming as a thief in the night," ask them, "You really believe he's coming as a thief for you? Is that what you really believe? Do you know that that means he's going to steal from you and to kill you and destroy you?" Well, what's he going to steal? Your inheritance, your treasure, because it was stored up on earth. You never became saved. And the Bible tells us, store not up treasure on earth where thief can break in and steal, but rather store it in heaven where a thief can't break in and steal. So Jesus isn't coming to steal treasure from the true believers. He can't, and he wouldn't. But he is coming to take away the inheritance, the riches, the life, everything from anyone who never became saved and is left behind. And that's how he's coming as a thief. It has nothing to do with, wickedness, because being a thief is a crime. It's against the commandments of God. But just in that way, that he's coming suddenly to take everything from man. And that's what he warned us. That's exactly what he warned us, that when he says in Matthew 16, then we'll take that break. Matthew 16, in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Because you can have all kinds of things, all kinds of riches, all kinds of blessings that you've been living your life. But in 13 days, no matter what percentage of this world you own personally, as most people only own a little tiny plot of ground, but whatever percentage an individual who never became saved own, or whatever they have in their life, it's going to be taken away. And then they'll also lose their soul. They're going to lose eternal life. And they're going to die an eternal death. They'll be killed at some point, and their whole being utterly destroyed on October 21, their physical body and their soul and this whole world. Okay, let's stop here, and we'll take a 5-10 minute break, and we'll come back. But let's close quickly with a word of prayer.